You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey, everyone, welcome to Myopia Morning. This week we talk Rocco's Modern Life, one of my personal favorites and one that I'm very glad we finally got to. I want to thank all of you who came out to see me do a riff over Flesh Gordon, which was a train wreck. The show was good. The movie is unwatchable. Don't forget, the first Thursday of every month in general, we do a show. So in a mere week, they will be back at it again. And then we're doing a second show in February. So check out Cineprov Facebook group or cineprov.com for all of that. So Scott will take this one away, but please rate and review us. I appreciate it.
We're going to watch every episode of Doctor Who and then talk to you about it.
Every episode?
Every single one.
In order?
From an unearthly child to, you know, the future. And we're going to do it in a podcast that we call
The Watchathon of Rassilon.
WatchYourRassilon.com. And we're also a part of the ESO Network. So check us out or whatever.
Please.
Stay Rassil Awesome.
Stop trying to make Rassil Awesome a thing.
Nope.
Welcome to Myopia Mornings. This is a podcast dedicated to revisiting the TV shows we all loved as children and seeing just how well they hold up. This month, we watched the classic 90s Nickelodeon cartoon series Rocco's Modern Life, about a sort of Australian wallaby version of Ralph Nader mixed with the guy who waits in line all week for the new iPhone. I think that about summarizes it.
I'll take it.
Yeah, to discuss whether it holds its own, we have on panel with us today, Thomas.
I'm Thomas Herman, host of the Geekly Oddcast and member of the Brothers Herman, and also a frequent contributor on Myopia Defend Your Childhood and Mission Briefing.
Well, there you go. That's a mouthful. And then we have the Myopia Godfather himself, Mr. Nicholas Hoffman.
Hey, guys, this is Nick. I host all the podcasts, as he referenced, except for the Brothers Herman or Geekly Oddcast. So I'm host of Myopia Defend Childhood, editor of Dude Letter, and riffer on Cineprov.
Excellent, excellent. And I am your host this evening, Mr. Scott Miller. Let's dive right in to Rocco's Modern Life.
Whoa. Don't sell yourself short. You also did all the graphic design. Yeah, this is essentially us giving each other our resumes.
This is the shameless promotion section.
Yeah, right. Plug each other, I guess.
Also the graphic designer and creative director for all the visuals on the Myopia and Dude Letter podcasts. So
there you go.
I'm sure, what other titles can we throw in there?
Admiral.
Person who's hosting this one.
Yeah, right.
Admiral, I will steer the ship the best I can. Anyway, let's jump right into our first part here and try to refresh our listeners' memories as to what the heck Rocco's Modern Life was and what it was all about. Nick, I think I'm going to let you try to give everyone here a synopsis, kind of what the premise is for this show.
So effectively, Rocco is this young-ish, kind of just out of school. You get the feeling that he's just out on his own. He's not quite middle-aged, but he's trying to figure it out. That's the whole premise of this thing. And on top of that, he's kind of this immigrant character who doesn't quite get O-Town, which is the town he lives in. What's interesting about it as a show is it's the second round of Nicktoons, right? The original round of Nicktoons is Rugrats, Doug, Ren and Stimpy. And then this comes right at the it's literally right on that next cusp. So we'll talk about this, but it is influenced by things like Ren and Stimpy with the kind of crudeness of the humor at times. But this is all about him trying to figure it out, trying to, not unlike a lot of Nickelodeon shows, the premise is people trying to be adults, right? The precocious kid effect. But you never get the precociousness of Rocco. An episode we didn't watch even is about Filbert getting married and them going to the bachelor party, and they can't talk about alcohol, but they eat too much ice cream and they all get hungover, right? There are these little, there are these little things that make it so close to trying to reach that barrier. And I think that's why this show is charming. As now someone who myself is 32, I look back at this and him saying, "Garbage day. It's a very dangerous day." I just get that. Like, I understand that little bit of it. I love this show. So I'm when it came out on DVD for the first time, I bought it before the disc said cooled from the printer. So.
Well, that's Ben, you're the right person on the panel here, because I actually remember that I watched this show. I remember that I watched the show when I was young. And this show was a lot earlier than I thought. I thought this was probably like late 90s. This is like 93 to 96. This is right in there. But honestly, I didn't remember like anything specific about the show. I remember him being Australian, that he's got that guy Heifer around, remember it having a lot of like crude Ren and Stimpy style violence. And that's it. I don't remember like why anything was happening. I didn't remember any specific episodes. But I was pleasantly surprised, like going back and really enjoyed watching these, because I was, you know, I still had kind of a fresh mind to it and was, I don't know, I was pleasantly surprised. You know, obviously my memory is not going to be like tested here. There's nothing that's going to make me go, "Oh, I can't believe I like this show so much," but that's why we've got you two. So we can go around the panel and take a trip down memory lane real quick and start with Thomas.
So I think I remember this one pretty well. I remember watching this a lot as a kid and then watching the reruns constantly. I remember his Woody Allen friend, Filbert. Turn the page and then you wash your hands. You turn the page and then you wash your hands. And I remember his wife, the cat dentist with the hooks for hands.
Dr. Hutchinson.
Dr. Hutchinson. Heifer Wolf from a family of wolves. I mean, literally raised by wolves. Rocco going through all of the problems with stepping into adulthood. I know a while back, my brother David did some research for an episode of Rocco, like was going to do an episode on Rocco for his show. And one of the things that was great was he talked about Joe Murray has an interview where when they asked him to do this show, and they're like, "You do realize I don't do children's shows, right?" Yeah, we got that. Like, he's like, "All right, good." And goes off. And this show, I agree, it's got that Ren and Stimpy kind of crude humor, but it's got some episodes that I remember seeing live, and I can't believe I saw them, because there's one in particular where
Rocco works for a sex
phone. It was Rocco works for a sex phone line, which only aired once, but I remember seeing. And then the other one was my favorite, and I didn't get the joke as a kid, but I do remember the joke, and then coming back as an adult, like, and seeing it again, was when Rocco and Heifer go to a motel, and they asked if they wanted to pay by the hour.
I do remember that.
And Rocco goes, "All night," and the guy behind the counter goes, "Hubba hubba."
Oh god!
I love it. I love that so much.
And I don't know. I really enjoy that. I can't believe they worked those jokes in and nobody stopped them. But I remember I love this show, and when I've gone back and watched it again, I still really enjoy the heck out of it. There's still some great nostalgia in there and some even better jokes now that I'm an adult and gone through some of that first life living on your own sort of thing.
Nick, what about you?
Similarly, it was one of those shows, and since I got to pick the episodes, since Scott, you had a frame of reference but didn't have memories, like you said, I wanted to kind of show the gamut. I as an adult, am impressed with the, not necessarily just what they got away with, but the subject matter they were tackling. Like, we'll talk about it, which is kind of the charm of this show. But it's little things that now I get more of, not just jokes, but just simple premises. How sometimes the simplest thing is literally the most frustrating thing of your day. How, like, why my mom used to hate having to do, like, those days that were just laundry days, where it was just a Sunday where I just remember load after load after load after load of laundry. And it's just, obviously I wasn't doing the laundry, so who would give a shit? But the idea as an adult that there are these things that you know something's going to go wrong, there's nothing you can really do about it. Just take it. Just take it in stride. I love that part of Rocco, because that's kind of what the show is. So I'm utterly charmed on rewatching this. So, yeah, I'm with you.
Nice. Well, yeah, well, we can go right into the episodes we watched. We, I guess we technically watched 2.5 episodes. And you're right, ranging from the first season through to the third and to the fourth season. So we got kind of a good range of all the show had to offer. The first one, I don't know how long were these seasons?
I've had
like 40 episodes or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it depended, because usually, so each of these seasons only has 13 episodes according to TV.com when I'm looking at them. But I mean, kind of the number of episodes. So, you know, I think the one that Nick sent, like episode 115, season one, episode 15, isn't, I'm wondering if they're just kind of counting by the episode in the show, like when there's several. I'm not sure.
Oh yeah, by the segment. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of enjoy that they did that. I wish some cartoons would still do that with a shorter, you know, mini-sode inside, and then move on to the next one. So you didn't have to have a full 30-minute segment. You could just do, all right, we set this up for one joke, and then we're gonna move on to the next one.
Yeah, exactly. It totally works a lot better than trying to stretch it out for 20 minutes. And we totally see that in a couple of these, like the Fatal Contraption segment that's like totally silent. Now, you're not going to do that for 20 minutes to a kid, but for 10 minutes it works.
Yeah.
But I mean, starting with this first one, it's about the Suck-O-Matic, a sucker for the Suck-O-Matic. This,
call now. Pick up the phone right now.
Can I tell them what I did for you?
Do it.
Yes, so for a Christmas / birthday gift, I violated the rule of people who have birthdays around the holidays, but I got him a still from this particular episode. And when that moment came up, I had to laugh, but I got him an animated still, like an actual certified still from when Heifer's holding up the manual. I think this is... I tried it... Please, Scott, go...
No, I was going to say, I have it written down. I was watching the episode and just wrote, why does Heifer have the manual in his pants?
I tried to, when I was picking these episodes, this is something that is very, very, very Rocco, right? He wants to do the simplest thing in the world. His house is dirty, his vacuum dies, so he buys a new vacuum. That's it. Very simple. So, of course, everything has to go to shit. Right? Like, the vacuum has a mind of its own. It destroys the house. It destroys everything. This essentially...
Can I just say, as someone who now has a Roomba to do the vacuuming for me? There's just something very amusing about this episode. Now that I'm like, I just bought a vacuum that does it all for me. I just bought the Suck-O-Matic.
Well, and I mean, to your point, the last time our vacuum died, we did the research. We bought an expensive, nice, whatever it is, something shark. And you're just like, good vacuum is the best thing. What the hell has happened to me? I don't understand. And your brain does this little reboot. But it is. It's the most like, today I'm going to clean the house. And everything goes wrong. It's literally the millennial complaint that adults have about millennials. But it's treated so seriously here. He wants to do good by himself so badly, and the world is against him. And that's the show.
Yep.
It really is.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you want me to give, like, a quick synopsis of the episode? Effectively,
sure, yeah.
He's living in filth. Heifer's on the TV, and it starts, like, Psycho, where he goes, you're a pathetic thing, you're useless. Turns out he's talking to the vacuum cleaner. It just won't start. and he wants to clean the house so badly, but the vacuum gives up the ghost, and they have this kind of drama scene where he's holding him like it's a soap opera, just as the entire thing the vacuum dies, where the vacuum gets the line "Rosebud." Yeah. Rocco says "house crud" because of course he does. But it turns out that Heifer, instead of watching Game 7 of the World Series, the president being shot, or the world being destroyed by aliens, is watching QVC, where they're selling the Suck-O-Matic, the most helporific household device on the face of the earth. And you might think I was looking at IMDb, but I just knew that.
We should point out that Rocco is trying to adult, and Heifer is being an adult.
Absolutely. The lazy Sunday afternoon watching cable. That's...
Or like the 2 a.m. eating chips and just being like, man, there's nothing on. Ooh, yeah. Shopping.
I will tell you, like, there's a scene like midway through the episode, like when all of it's going wrong, and Heifer pulls out a loop to look at a potato chip.
Yeah.
And I remember that from childhood, and I'm watching it again. I'm just like, this is the most absurd thing I've ever seen.
That's exactly it. And I love this episode, not just because it's Rocco trying, and I've had days where I feel like you get nothing done. It shows the physical comedy. This is about midway through the first season, and this is what the show effectively becomes. They try to develop these characters further. Like I said, Filbert gets married, but all the basic bones of the show are here, right? He's trying to do something. The world is against him. He's really too meek to complain. He doesn't call anyone. Him and Heifer just kind of figure it out, sort of. And then everything goes even worse. It's great.
And Mr. Bighead is the adult complaining about all the millennials.
Yep.
It's a show 20 years ahead of its time. It's amazing.
That's why I was shocked to read how early this show was.
Well, and I think that's what's wonderful. Like, going back and watching it, it doesn't lose – it almost gained charm with maturity, because you went through all of the things that Rocco did, and you're like, oh, wow, this is part of my life. It's not my entire life, but it has these, like, moments of clarity where you're like, oh, wow.
And, I mean, an episode like this, like, if, as a kid – I mean, it's got physical comedy and silliness, and as I wrote down, a montage of intense vacuum action. But I mean, it's clearly, like you're saying, like when you're out of college, go watch this episode. Like, it should just be a little warning at the end. That's you'll get it when you're older. I mean, the next episode we watch is like aimed squarely at kids to give them a message. This one's just more of like a. I mean, I like it. I like that about it, is that it straddles the child-adult line really well. And you can see it totally differently as an adult, as opposed to – I felt like Ren and Stimpy watching it. I'm like, these aren't adult jokes mostly. It's just like gross-out humor or screaming or catchphrases that kind of work when you're 12 and work just the same when you're 30.
I feel like this worked very well. Like, not that it doesn't work the same way as Animaniacs, like where the jokes are written, where, you know, kids get a joke and then there's a deeper meaning for adults. Where the same thing happens here, where Animaniacs is just jokes for joke's sake. Where this one is, oh, that's funny for a kid to watch, and then as an adult, you're like, oh, it has a whole new meaning, but it's still hilarious. Yeah. And I like that because it's just because that cross generational humor that really works. And I just like this episode in particular, like the vacuum. Yeah, I remember when I moved down here to when I moved to Atlanta, and I'm like, I have to go buy a vacuum. And I went out, did my research, and I bought a vacuum. I'm like, I got a good vacuum. And I had the same moment Nick did earlier. I was like, oh God, what have I become?
The things we get excited about as homeowners now. Yeah. And what's good is at the end of the episode, it pulls back, and their whole house has been engulfed by the vacuum, but so is everyone else is going through the same shit, and I like that. Like oh, it's not just you, don't worry, everyone goes through this. It sucks, but
we're all in it together,
right?
Very good.
Pretty good. Well, let's jump into the next one. Let's keep it moving here. The next episode was a full episode, which meant we got the opening titles, which excited me because I had somehow forgotten that half of the B-52s did the opening theme song. Yep. I'm sitting there like, Rocko's Modern Life. Like, oh my God, is that Fred?
As a UGA grad yourself, that must have warmed your heart.
That absolutely warmed my heart. Athens represent whenever it can. I was very pleased with that. It has to be called out. Part one of this episode was essentially, if we want to do a synopsis, is Rocko leading the city, who somehow all the citizens somehow know all the same songs to sing.
You can't fight City Hall. You can't fight corporate America.
There you go.
Oh my God! So
Rocko's trapped in a musical in which he has to fight City Hall on environmental issues. Kids. Hmm. Clean your room, clean up outside, or nature will get you and give you what you deserve. Or kick our butts, as they say in the episode. Very clear message going on in this one. But they have some fun with musicals, wherein Rocko is just like, why is everyone singing? How did you know all the words? Did you rehearse? And Heifer's like, yeah, every Thursday. Like, oh, okay. Well,
so...
not a magical musical world.
Yes, I mean, so this episode I chose, obviously, for a couple reasons. First of all, I remember this episode playing and the songs being kind of catchy and whatever. Yes, it's very Captain Planet with its very blunt message, right? But I will say, the actual humor behind it is actually pretty great. There's a point where Heifer goes up to Conglomo to demand that he sees the board of directors, and the security guard asks him if it was planned or not, and he goes, well, this is actually kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing. Oh, yeah? Well, then why does everyone know the words? And Rocko says, well, I don't know the words. And they behind him go, he doesn't know the words! And you realize that musicals are bullshit all at once, which is great.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And Rocko screams, shut up, for like 3 seconds at them.
It was wonderful. Like, I can actually, like, before this episode started, it started off and I'm like, oh, no, it's all coming back. Like, all of the songs start flooding of like, and it's like, R-E-C-Y-C-L-E, recycle, don't you P-O-L-L-U-T-E, pollute. It's horrible.
And it's very cheesy and it's very over the top. But you know that the network note was you should have a message about blank. And he's like, oh, fuck you, I'm going to go all out. Because it's the most overproduced ever. Oh, it's so great. It's so phenomenal.
I still can't believe that SpongeBob is Heifer Wolf. Right. It's like, that was the big one. Yeah, it's Tom Kenny. It was like, wait, Game what? Boy, yes.
Well, and Rocko is done by, I was going to say the guy with the mustache, but he's one of the guys from Reno 911, and they all have mustaches, which is the gag.
Yeah, Carlos Alzheimer. Rocky. Yes, thank you.
He's the one that isn't, you know, Tom Lennon. You know, he's like the second in command guy. But it's really good. It's a great show. And the voices are great in it, right? Like you said, Filbert, who isn't in any of the episodes we watched, but is good. Heifer, who is raised by wolves, and all this stuff, and the voices really illustrate it. The kind of goofy fat guy, the very Chris Farley-like character that Heifer is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and can we talk about the fact that it's not in this, but the Heifer's favorite fast food restaurant?
Oh, Chokey Chicken.
Chokey Chicken.
Oh, my God.
Well, and to make the joke even bleaker, there's more than once where you see a family of chickens going into Chokey Chicken, which is just a KFC thing. But, like, there's so many jokes that they're like, well, if you don't get this one, you'll get this one. And it just keeps going and going and going and going. It's great. It really is phenomenal.
But wait, so So this brings up a question I had about the world of Rocco's modern life. So this is not unlike Mickey Mouse. This is a walking, talking animal with a pet dog who can do none of those things.
Well, it's making fun of Mickey Mouse, like
right. Then as you go through these episodes, it's like some animals can walk and talk, some items are sentient, some aren't, some are. It's like this, and then as it goes, I just kind of got the idea of like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's whatever works for the joke or whatever works for the story. Some things can talk and some things can't. And it's good to have a dog companion. And sometimes it's good to have the toaster run across the counter.
Like, well, and I guess to that point as well, like, God, this world is so out of place that, like, everything is anthropomorphized sometimes. And like you are alluding to, even like Mickey Mouse, his feet kind of squish as he walks. He's a hero in this world, but unfortunately, I guess making fun of the whole Mickey thing, he's not the hero of anything, right? Like, he's never in control.
Yeah,
he works as the, like, checkout guy at a place called Kind of a Lot of Comics. Like, it's not even a big store. It's just Kind of a Lot of Comics.
Next half of this episode, he goes to Fairmart.
Yeah. I had to send you guys something because there's a joke I remembered, and I had to share it, but I didn't necessarily want to say it aloud.
I'll do it, man. I love this
chat. So there's an episode where, like, so later in the series, Rocco gets a hobby where he uses the jackhammer in competitions. And there's an episode where, like, he and Heifer go to a place called Demo Pit, where it's basically this open concrete area where you can hop on your jackhammer. And the caption under Demo Pit is, "Jack all you want."
I'm surprised you remember that.
What's that mean, Daddy? It's a lot of Nickelodeon, goddamn it.
Yeah.
Oh man, this show is full of stuff like that. I mean, you already hit on a lot of them that you remembered from other episodes.
I just enjoy all of that. And yeah.
It's basically the next thing we watched was a silent episode, but it was another. He buys a device to try to make life easier. And it ends up going completely awful. And that's why my open, I'm like, this is the early adopter who's like, oh my God, I need that. It'll make my life easier. And it's the first version and it has bugs. Just in this world, the bugs, you know, are that it eats your house or tries to kill your dog. So it's.
Yes. I will say that we didn't cover this one, but it's worth going and watching, though it hits way too close to home from just straight out of college. The episode with the credit card.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
That's a great one.
I mean,
explain.
So Rocco's in between paychecks and he needs like a new dog bowl and a new couch and things like this. And but he has no money and he has to wait for his next paycheck. And Heifer's like, oh, but he pulls out his mail and finds a credit card and says, well, you could charge now and pay later. And Rocco, like, Heifer basically takes Rocco on this spending spree. And as he keeps swiping, the credit card literally starts melting in his hands. And then at the end, the bill comes due. And so all of his stuff gets repossessed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and oh, please, Scott, go. Scott? Oh, I said go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, I just said it to Les.
Yeah, and I mean, like, to me, it gets all the worse. It's not just him spending the money. It's that it seems like whenever he tries to get ahead, he falls behind, and that's kind of totally relatable. The reason why I left that episode in, though, is not just that it was attached to the musical episode. I kind of appreciate the art that they just do. You never saw silent episodes like this, because that's almost like a Buster Keaton bit, right? Or something out of Modern Times from Charlie Chaplin. Like, modern technology is crazy, but there's no words. There's barely sound effects. It's kind of neat.
BoJack Horseman did this with the underwater episode where they couldn't speak. And I remember, that's what, a year ago. I remember that being like, wow, they did a silent episode. And I'm like watching this thinking, this is 25 years ago. And Rocco just like pumps out a 10-minute, like it's a Tom and Jerry with no words. Like it's nothing. I'm like, well, Rocco so far has been very ahead of its time in all of these episodes. And I didn't know.
I was sad, it's it ended at 4 seasons. And I'm like, I'm going through it. I'm like, these episodes are fantastic. You know, why did it cap off? And I'm like, well, I guess, I think there's I learned this. I've got a friend. She works for Cartoon Network. And one of the things I learned, it's surprising this made it to 4 seasons, but most shows don't make it past 3 because that's kind of the generational age range that they're aiming at. And by the time the 3rd season comes around, that the group that was watching it is aging out. And the group that's coming into that age group doesn't want to watch what their older sibling or the older kids were watching. They want something for them. And so it kind of just cycles a show out. And so 3 or 4 years and you move on to the next show. And that's just kind of how most shows work. Now, how SpongeBob is still going is beyond me, and I don't want to talk about it.
Well, imagine it's sounding like The Simpsons.
That's like a dozen years, too. And that seems like it knows exactly who it's aiming at. And I guess it just depends.
Well, I think not unlike The Simpsons, it does the thing where it changes the showrunners every few years. So it doesn't completely refresh, but the ideas refresh every couple of years, and that also helps it, right? Because SpongeBob, when we were in high school, when it first came out, is very different than it is now. And that ability to evolve is also different. And unfortunately for Rocco, it was completely driven by Joe Murray. And although that Camp Lazlo show that he came out with next, I think, lasted a bit longer.
But wasn't that Cartoon Network? I mean, it could have just been a different...
I think it was. So.
And, I've heard from a few... from some of the interviews that people who've left Nickelodeon, like around that time, like a lot of the great, shows we remember from our childhood on Nickelodeon were from a specific time where Nickelodeon was very much throwing money at creators and just letting them create. And as it moved on from there and got popular, it became more and more corporatized in how they wanted to run cartoons. And so it kind of stifled that creativity to a point where those creators decided to leave rather than stick around and try and deal with that.
That sounds like Ren and Stimpy to me. And that's annoying. I mean, a good thing there's a Cartoon Network, but it's not, those shows ended. I mean, there's only 4 seasons of Rocco. Like, it didn't get picked up and move networks or anything.
Yeah. Well, you can blame Doug for that one.
I usually blame Doug. It's the safe.
No, because that one, Nickelodeon sold it to Disney, and Disney managed to keep it going for however long Disney had a movie and all of that. And I think Nickelodeon was so ticked that they let that property go away and it managed to become something that they won't let anything go now.
Ma'am.
Just for fear.
Well, it took them 15 years to release the Rocco on DVD. But didn't they change Doug substantially? Like, didn't the bully guy, Roger Klotz, become this rich asshole?
Yes. Oh, no. Disney changed the heck out of it. I can't remember much of it because I was never the biggest Doug fan to begin with. But it was on sometimes, and I had nothing else to do because it was raining. I think you're right. They did a lot of – Disney made a lot of changes to that show from what Nickelodeon had. And I still see Quail Man at conventions. Yeah.
Funny character. I mean, you're not wrong.
It's an easy costume.
Yeah. honestly, the charm to that show is more in the idea than the how it came out, than the actual completion. So
that's true. That's very true.
I definitely sing Killer Tofu pretty regularly. So.
That's an amazing episode.
Doug has some weird earworms to it. Character names or songs or...
It's the Beats!
It's Patty Mayonnaise. Like, there's things that you remember. Like, why do I remember?
Or,
Anyway, that's Doug.
Sorry, we got way off topic. Sorry, that's not...
Banging on a trash can indeed, guys.
Get off my lawn. Okay. The final episode we watched, let's get back on track. Two parts. First one, Rocco goes through a whole bunch of shit and ends up wanting to run for dog catcher. And Big Head runs against him. So we get a nice little political commentary. Second half is more about Big Head and Heifer. He's playing golf with his boss, and Heifer works at the course and ends up helping him cheat to sort of win the weirdest golf match. I barely even knew what was happening by the end. But two interesting episodes, a lot of Big Head going on. Rocco's in the second part for just one quick shot. So it's a little different than the other ones we watch.
So, yeah, I think the first one, Ed Good, Rocco Bad, is something I remember them doing a lot as a kid, which is jokes I didn't understand but aimed at kids, right? Like, I didn't really follow politics. This came out, what, I would imagine mid-90s. You said the show was 93 to 97, right? This is probably Clinton, and this really does sound like an election. Like, he's the good guy. I'm the good guy. He's the bad guy. That's it. Like, you need shoulders and you win. Yeah. Like, I love the simplicity of it.
Surely the American people can't be swayed by one commercial.
Right. I mean, for a kid's show, it's very prescient. But it's also very on the nose in a way that I kind of love. So I don't know. I thought it was terrible. Because, again, Rocco enters a race that no one should care about for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
He cares about the dogs and he wants to be dog catcher, which is a thankless job. But Ed has to destroy him because, of course, Ed has to destroy him. That's kind of it.
Yeah.
That's...
Because get off my lawn. Because this new generation is going to change the laws and be lenient and do this and that. I've got to step in. I can't let him do that. That's why he steps in. I mean, it's such a clear, like, holding on to your generation and ruining the government. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. No, precisely.
I'm getting off a different podcast here. Well, it's a pretty good episode, though.
Yeah.
it's a pretty solid episode, yeah.
What?
I like the gag of giving out flyers and everyone just throws them in the trash. When he runs out, he goes and picks them out of the trash and gives them back to people, and they just throw them in the trash. The old Mitch Hedberg joke of, here, you throw this away.
Right. And then...
I like little guys.
Or Heifer pinning pins on people. He pins it on the wrong guy and just gets destroyed. No, it's great. It's one that feels the most just at home at being a silly cartoon, with the possible exception of the next one that we're literally going to talk about in a second here. But it's extremely well done. It's very nicely put together, I think.
Yeah. Well, you can go right into the next one about the crazy golf game with pianos and Darth Vader and God knows what.
Yeah, so this one is ridiculous. Effectively, the whole thing, like Scott kind of breezed through, was Ed has to play golf against his boss. The boss always wins. That's it. Ed is just someone else who plays golf. The boss is supposed to win. The little newt guys who are the toadies, so literally they're reptiles, just assures Ed. Ed makes sure the boss wins. That's it. They have a whole golf course set up to fling pianos at golf balls so that the golf ball, like, if a piano hits your golf ball, it's like 10 strokes or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, there's a penalty. Is it just me? Or the first time that happens, I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. Surely the next time it'll be something different.
Yeah.
The next time it's a piano again. And then it's another piano.
I feel like this is somebody's like, golf is exceptionally boring. What can we do to make it more entertaining?
Yeah,
pianos.
And I guess what's more is no one is fazed by this. No one is.
Yeah.
This is the one that's most like a Bugs Bunny short, right? Heffer has a sense of justice that people are cheating and he needs to help Mr. Bighead. But other than that, like, Mr. Bighead is slowly being paralyzed and crippled by these falling pianos. No one cares. Like, no one notices that he's in pain. It's just that he might actually win this, and that's what people are excited about.
What? Yep. And there's broadcasters who clearly are being forced to broadcast this. They're just, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. I'm yawning. And it turns out Rocco's watching this on TV. Why is any of this on TV? They're just making fun of golf movies. Is that what this is?
I mean, I guess.
I mean, but this is making fun of, like, I mean, at this point, did this come out before Happy Gilmore?
About the same time. It might have been before, but yeah, about the same.
So Happy Gilmore came out in 1996, which means it's very possible this episode was written and drawn before Happy Gilmore was finished in production or put out. So, because when you think about the length of time that goes into a cartoon or a movie, that means at the same time they sat down and basically just made a whole joke about golf.
Yeah. What would make it more interesting? And if you have no money, you can't fling pianos in real life. If you're a cartoon show, just go all out. By the end, they're all hiding behind sandbags with helmets on. And
that's right.
I mean, and can you explain? I mean, that's Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the little helpers are like red leader to base. My ears are perking up. I'm like, oh, wait, yeah. I thought the guy's voice was like Kylo Ren because that's just in my, you know, immediate memory. But it's like, this is – they just shoved the Star Wars thing in here. Why not? What would make golf more interesting? Star Wars. Just like anything. Just stick Star Wars in there.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Yeah. It's so charmingly ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know. It's one that is the most like an old Looney Tunes bit, which is something that John Kay used to talk about with Rock, Ren and Stimpy, you know, doing Space Madness. Why wouldn't they be in space for no reason? That's how Bugs Bunny was.
Yeah.
But Joe Murray has none of the like artistic politics. He just wants to do something goofy. And this is just about as goofy as the show ever got. It's great.
Yeah, it's a world that doesn't have, it just has cartoon rules. It has characters, and then anything else can be whatever it is. Trees can open up and fire pianos. You can have Darth Vader. Electronics can fight with each other. It doesn't matter. And some dogs talk, some dogs don't. Whatever works for the joke. And it usually does.
And I mean, I can't emphasize enough that what is happening surprises no one. Like, no one is shocked or startled.
Exactly. Within this world, these things are normal. No matter what it is, the things are normal. Like the vacuum going out of control and sucking up houses. I mean, it's unfortunate, but no one's sitting there being like that shocked. This is fine. Oh, I just bought a faulty vacuum.
Yeah, no, that's precisely it. Or Or really, really big man.
There's a superhero that floats around this show somehow. People are just kind of okay with him.
And he has, and one of his superpowers is his nipples can see into the future.
Yeah, the nipples of the future.
He's like, and I saw in my nipples of the future the trouble you were about to have.
Oh man, that's some Powder Toast Man shit right there.
It really is.
Like straight out of that. Oh my God.
I feel like Joe Murray saw.
Watch some of these episodes.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, just buy it. I have them all. Yeah. They're great.
I've got volume one bought on Prime. I just need to get the rest of them because I remember when it first came out on Prime and I'm like, yes, I'm getting this.
Absolutely. Well, this is a good this is going to go well, but this is a good time to go around the panel and get some final thoughts. Let's start with Nick, I guess. I assume this held up for you. It sounds like we were all pretty happy watching the show, but what do you
think? Man, just if you can find it, as Thomas was alluding to, they've done a really shit job at streaming this stuff. It's on cable regularly. But other than that, if you can find it, watch it, man. It's great. It's all the characters are still charming. Like they hold up. There's none of that Rugrats crap where the voices become cloying. I find it very funny, and it does occasionally veer into being too cartoonish, because that's what Nickelodeon wanted from them occasionally. But for the most part, I think it's just wonderful.
Nice. Thomas?
I love this show. I mean, it's been before, you know, we set up for this episode. It had been a while since I sat down and watched it, but I mean, I watched it probably, you know, about 10 years ago again, and then I watched it religiously as a kid, and this show, it's gotten better with age for me just from personal experiences, and I kind of enjoy that. I agree with Nick. There are a couple episodes I think are easily skippable, but I mean, I think Joe Murray created a fantastic thing here, and I can't wait for the movie later this year. But yeah, go watch this wherever you can. Amazon has it, and you can buy it. Occasionally it's on Prime, but rarely. And then it is on that Nickelodeon Splat. I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, very nice. Yeah, I'm right with you guys. I obviously didn't remember as many details, but it was really easy for me to jump right back in and watch. And I was telling Nick before we got on this, I didn't find anything cringeworthy or grating or like overly kid oriented. I felt like it hits right in the middle, right in that sweet spot of appealing to kids, appealing to adults, and aging well, and talking it through with you guys, getting a better idea of the, you know, he's just trying to be an adult and make it in America kind of thing. It kind of gives me even better perspective on the show. And I really enjoyed it. And I actually do want to go through some other episodes, which I can't always say at the end of these shows.
Very fair.
So I am very pleased that we chose Rocco's Modern Life this month. That about wraps it up for us on Myopia Mornings. Be sure to subscribe to Myopia Defend Your Childhood wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. We'll be back next month with another attempt to ruin your precious Saturday morning memories as we explore Mark Hamill's second greatest performance. We'll see you next time, guys. Thanks for listening.
We're out.
What do you mean, second?
I made the same joke to him earlier, man. Myopia Mornings is a member of the ESO Network and produced by Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Scott Miller and co-hosted by Nick Hoffman and Aaron Greer. It is edited by Nick Hoffman and Candace Burns. The theme song is Buddy by Ben Sounds, and the music is available on bensounds.com. Please rate and review Myopia Defend Your Childhood on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. Tune in next week when we put another piece of your past on trial. Thanks.